Broadcasting from the Minnesota Soybean Research Promotion Council studios, powered by the Soybean Checkoff. Yes, we are Chasm. And like I said, it is our 193rd Musicians Come and Play program. We have our guest on the line. We're going to go to the phone line right now and bring him in and say good morning to Mr. Ken Schmidt. Ken, how are you doing?
Doing great, Si.
And Ken, you are at home in Le Centre, Minnesota?
That's right.
All right. Born and raised there, or where did you start out?
No, I actually grew up on a farm out between Watertown and St. Bonnie.
Okay.
Up in Carver County.
Oh, yeah.
Grew up there and ended up moving down here when the job market as a teacher came calling about 40 years ago.
Oh, okay. And born and raised on a farm or just in town? Or
no, on a farm.
On a farm.
Hog farm, chicken farm. We had it all.
You had it all. All right. All righty. And, of course, well, you said you did teaching for a career then?
Right. I was a biology and life science teacher for 6 years at Cleveland, Minnesota, and 30 years in Le Centre, Minnesota.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Got to work with the youth then through the years.
Right. A lot of in classes and also coach baseball and basketball. So
okay.
A lot of good relationships there.
There you go. And you became a musician along the way, and you've done some work with Chuck Thiel and the band for just a few years, huh? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, started with Chuck back in 1971, June of 71. It would have been the summer right after my first year of college, and been doing that for, what now, 45, 6 years, whatever.
Sure. And playing what, in what capacity?
Played trumpet, tenor sax, and bell trombone.
Okay.
And jump right in on a lot of vocals.
Sure. And been quite an experience, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, it's been it seems like it went by real fast, but there's lots of different, how times have changed, and met, you know, thousands of wonderful people along the way, and been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Well, Ken, how'd you get started playing music? Did you start out in school, or did before school, or how did things get going for you?
Well, when I was in first grade, I started piano lessons. I did that for about 6 years, and then seventh grade, took up the trumpet, and you know, played in high school band, and choir, and all that. And after I got out of college, actually all the jobs we were playing, my mouth was getting a little sore, so I took up the tenor saxophone and picked up a bell trombone along the way for the cooler eye background, so that's kind of how I got into to the point where we are.
Okay, so you did learn music in school then, having taken music there in school, so you're able to read music and go on like that, huh?
Right. I mean, I can read, and I like to write. I like to arrange stuff for the band. And,
oh, you do? Okay.
Also, I can play by ear. Not as well as some, but I do okay.
Okay. Awesome. And did you play in college then, too, then?
No, I didn't. That was kind of not much with the music in college. Of course, on the weekends, we were playing all the time, so
sure.
I got my fill of it there.
I can imagine. And how'd you meet Chuck? How'd you get started with the Jolly Ramblers?
Well, you know, I think I met him being in a wedding party or two, you know, right maybe right after I was out of high school, and they were playing for the dances, and then when he found out that I was at Mankato at the college, same place he was, we got together and kind of got me involved and started playing with the group, and have been ever since.
Okay. And bumped elbows with a few good musicians over the years then, too, I'm sure, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting thinking back how things have changed. You know, I think back when I first started, we used a tuba at that time, and we had Ralph Litvin from, we played many years with Ivan Kale, was our tuba player at first. And my brother jumped in as a bass guitar player and accordion and trumpet, and he played with us for about 35 years. And Jerry Kale from Ivan Kale Band had to be at least 15 years played with us.
Okay.
Hillary Haig from the Jerry Schuft, Earl Schmidt days.
Yep.
Bass player for about 5 years there. And of course, I play with Leon Hafner right now from Northfield, and of course Myron Muehlbauer, he's played with everybody, but he was always either our third horn or filled in if one of us couldn't be there.
Sure,
so
yeah.
Played with a lot of wonderful people.
Absolutely, you bet, and memories have been great. You've done some recording with Chuck and the Jolly Ramblers over the years. Have you been on all the recordings probably?
Yes.
You
I've
have been
on all of them. I think first one was like in 1976 maybe or something like that. And we've, I don't know, 19, 20, 21, whatever we've done.
Yeah.
And so, it's been...
Well, I would imagine that first recording, that's probably a vinyl album, huh?
The first six were.
Okay.
First six were on vinyl, and then, we were having them on cassette, too, and then finally switched over to CDs.
And remembering what it was like recording back in those days, we've talked with a lot of fellow musicians, and back then it was a real challenge to record because there was no cutting and patching back in those days. You had a player start to finish and make sure nobody made any mistakes along the way, huh?
In the first few recordings, I remember there was maybe two microphones.
Yeah, that's right, too.
And you went through it, what you did is what you got.
Yep.
And then, of course, later on, it got more sophisticated. Now we're even in the digital days. So, I mean, it's changed a lot, but it's kind of nice having those memories.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, it just gives you an appreciation for some of the bands years ago, Whoopi John and Fez and all those bands that recorded back before our time yet. They had very little amplification or anything back in those days, and yet they did some quality recordings.
And along with that, you'd have a tough time finding a group of guys with enough talent to play those libraries.
Yeah, that's for sure as well. Oh, my gosh, yeah. Well, you would certainly appreciate that, being a composer and writer of music. How'd you start doing that?
Well, we used to do it pretty much everything by ear.
Uh-huh.
And then one of the gentlemen had a heart attack, and all of a sudden we had to have a fill-in, kind of an emergency situation, so I started... trying to write at least a second book and get some of that down on paper. Well, then we just started writing. We have a two-horn library and a three-horn library, and we've been just, everything we do now since, we've been just putting it all on paper, so who knows when one of us isn't going to be there someday.
Absolutely.
Somebody can take our place.
Absolutely. And that's the current book that Chuck has, then, is what you guys have written down?
Yeah, we've worked on that since, probably 1980.
Oh, okay. All right.
It keeps getting bigger and bigger, and yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And you guys have done a lot of polka mass religious events, too, haven't you, over the years?
Yes. We started that, I think, around late 80s or 1990 in there somewhere, and for a favor for a friend, and it kind of took off, and pretty soon we were doing close to 70 churches
per year.
We did our first religious recording, and we kind of thought, well, we hope this pays for itself someday. And we've done five of them now. And it's going, it's been real good to us.
Yeah, it has. You guys used to come up here to Freeport, Sacred Heart Parish in Freeport. I know for a number of years, that was before I was on radio myself, but we'd come up and see you guys play on a Saturday night, and you'd usually start out with the polka mass and then stay and play the rest of the event.
Yeah, we did some of that there, and I think just across the road a little ways over at New Munich and some other churches in Melrose. I know we get up there, too, as well. And so, yeah, we've done some in the area there as well, yes.
Okay. And I bet you've been good friends with Chuck. You've enjoyed working with Chuck Thiel and the Jolly Ramblers through the years, too, huh?
Oh, hey, it's just like, you know, you can't get along without each other, and you can't get along with each other sometimes. You know, I know how that works. Every band is that way.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, to keep life interesting, and you do that no matter what walk of life you come from, there's always pranks and things going on and to keep life going, and I'm sure you guys are the same way, huh?
Sure. No, it's... everybody's there for the same reason. You love to play the music.
Absolutely. And the instrumentation in the Jolly Rambler band, you've got Chuck on the concertina. Now, I think, was it his dad that maybe was before him yet?
He started originally. When I started, his dad, Al, was on the drums.
On the drums, okay.
And he'd play a few concertina songs as well. But,
okay.
That's the way it was when we started. And, of course, now Jim Bartusik is our drummer. And,
okay.
Chuck's son Jason is on the keyboard bass.
Oh, and, okay.
Leon and myself. Leon plays clarinet and sax, and I play the three horns. That's kind of our basic five-person group now.
Five-person group, okay. And Jason was a drummer there for a while too, wasn't he?
Yes, he played drums for a while. And in an emergency case, sometimes we might have a bass player, and Jason will come up and play trumpet. He played trumpet in high school.
Oh, he did that too. Wow.
So he'll play trumpet along with me up front.
Okay. Sounds like another interesting interview there. Jason, sometime we'll get him on as well. We've had Chuck on before a couple times. So. Well, very good, Ken. Like I told you, 15 minutes goes by so quickly. We've already reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. Time to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market. Then we'll come back with you and continue the conversation, if that's all right.
Sounds good.
All right. So the St. Joe Meat Market, the home of fresh meats and award-winning sausages. Don't look now, but confirmation, First Communion, graduation events are all upon us. If you have one of these great events happening in your household, the St. Joe Meat Market can help you with all of your food planning ideas. There is a nice selection of ham that can be deboned, sliced, and trayed, ready to set out in the serving line. There is a full line of tender beef steaks, roasts, pork chops, pork steaks, ribs, all great in the oven or off the grill. Check out our marinated chicken and pork products. Grilling season is here now, and the brat section is stocked with a multitude of brats to choose from. And don't forget the ever-popular meat and cheese trays, a great addition to any meal. Your event is sure to be a huge success when you center your meal around great meat items found at the St. Joe Meat Market. So, as always, for more great in-store specials, like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or you can always call 320-363-4913. And Ken, for being our guest on the program, this is the way it works. Since the program began way back in 2013, I have a hand in it over at the St. Joe Meat Market. We put up a nice meat package, and along with Chasm, we send that out to your priority mail. Hope that you and your wife, Karen or Kathy? Kathy it is, right?
That's right.
Yeah, Kathy, you and Kathy and the family enjoy it in good health. So how's that for you?
Thank you very much. I'm sure we'll enjoy that.
You bet. Well, Ken, we were talking about the Jolly Ramblers band. Over the years, I'm sure you've played at some great events, some great dance halls. You want to elaborate on any of those?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that this morning here, and things keep popping in your head you totally forgot about. And, you know, I think back over the years how things have changed. For a period of time, we did Lederhosen and played German restaurants.
Yep, yep.
And that was always a great deal of fun. And a lot of things that stick out in your mind tend to deal either with distance, a farther away job, or weather. And I was just thinking here of everything from the bandwagon TV shows to a convention we played at for a Catholic Daughters convention of 900 women at a polka mass stomping and singing, and later on kind of rushed the band when they were going to pick up some recordings, and we had these little artificial trees around the band falling down. I mean, it was kind of crazy, and Polka Mass and Wells. Once we had to stop twice to go down in the basement because of a tornado.
Oh my gosh!
And of course that was the end of the festival because the tent outside went flat.
Yeah.
The Silverstein Fest House at the Mall of America. That was fun. We did that for a while, but that was kind of a grind. That you did Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. You did like 16 shows over the weekend, and that was almost like work.
Sure, sure.
You know, a lot of those things. One time we had electricity go out on a polka mass thing in Lake City. First song, halfway through, the power went out. So here you have no concertina. You can't hear, really. You can't hear the bass guitar. Vocals don't come through. We did the mass, and halfway through the last song, the power came back on.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
So every band could write a book about stuff like that. Grand Marais, one time, we're coming back from an Oktoberfest, and happened after midnight. We're coming back on North Shore, and of all things, hit a TV.
A TV on the road,
blow out a tire. You know,
oh my gosh!
And then, of course, there's good things too, like the Gibbon Ballroom and all the great festivals and stuff. It kind of really hurts when you drive by the Gibbon Ballroom now and see the place standing empty and that sort of thing. So you know, it's kind of funny how a lot of those weird things are what stand out in your mind. And of course, a lot of wonderful people that you meet through the years as well.
Isn't that true? You bet. I was going to ask you earlier in the program, and I just popped through my mind right now, just to mention who your mom and dad and family members are, and if any of them played music as well.
Well, my folks were Leo and Mabel Schmidt, and dad's gone now, but he played a little bit of button box as a kid, and then my mom, Mabel, played trumpet in high school.
Uh-huh.
And, brother Gary, of course, played with the band. He not only played trumpet, but he also played bass guitar. And then, of course, for a number of years, we did some bellow shaking, doing Polish music as well.
Yeah.
So he'd play the bass in the left hand and bellow shake with the right, and like I said, just the two of us boys on the farm there, and played together for a lot of years.
Okay.
Otherwise, that was the family that I grew up in, and now my oldest son lives on the farm. He and his wife and grandkids live on the farm I grew up on, and my the Vittori and my younger son Brady lives in Golden Valley.
Oh yes, okay. And I know I asked you off the air yesterday, but there's a lot of Schmidts in the area down at Nicollet. There's Bruce Schmidt there owns the butcher shop down there. No relation, huh?
No relation to the Nicollet Meat Market, and no relation to the Earl Schmidt of the Earl Schmidt Jerry Schuft Band.
Yep.
Different lines of Schmidts. We've all checked each other out.
Uh-huh. And all reputable people, good names there, common name, but so you follow right along in. That fits very well. Well, good. You think back over your career there, playing and so on, some of the ballrooms you mentioned, Gibbon, other ballrooms that you played in that, Chief's Little City, Bellray, all of those, I'm sure you were at all of those over the years too, huh?
You know, Bellray, Majestic, Medina, those ring a bell. The old days of when we first started at the group, we played wedding dances a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And for a number of years, primarily the old, in fact, New Germany, Plato, and Hamburg City Halls, that was every Saturday night we had a wedding at one of those. And then, of course, when we did progress to the ballrooms, there's the Paradise in Waconia, Lakeside,
yep.
Blue Note in Winstead, and others like that. So
sure.
That was good times.
You bet. How far and wide did you ever go? Did you get out of state at all playing with Chuck?
Oh, gosh, yes. For many years, we went to Wisconsin quite a bit, probably a good half, six, eight times a year. We were down to Kansas Pocatello one time, and of course, that's another long story, which we won't mention. But down in Iowa, we used to go quite a bit, still
uh-huh.
do, and up in the North Dakota, and the one that's interesting, too, here, Pukwana, South Dakota. That's up by the old last town before you get to the Missouri River there.
Okay.
And it was kind of a funny thing. You drive up to the back door of this big Quonset Hut Legion Hall, and the kids are out there with their 22s practicing on the empty beer bottles. And,
oh, my gosh.
You run into everything.
Oh, you do. And lastly, excuse me. Lastly, Ken, I had a chance to visit with your wife yesterday on the phone, and the one thing probably as musicians, one thing we sometimes neglect to do is to give real credit to the wife, the spouse. So many times we're out on the road making money, but still it's entertainment, so you're having a good time. They're staying at home, raising the family, maybe working another job or whatever the case might be. You've got a wonderful wife, Karen, or Kathy, I understand.
Yeah, she's been very flexible and put up with my weekend playing. And, I did go through the high school coaching thing, too, for about 10 years as well. And,
okay.
And so we always keep a real detailed family schedule and try to work things out. And I'm sure I've missed a few things I shouldn't have. But,
sure.
No, very understanding wife and very supportive. So I've been very, very blessed in that way.
Yep, and I the same. My wife, Janet, I played on the circuit there for about 35 years. I was a drummer with various bands, and she stayed home most of the time. I go along occasionally to the dances, but then you're paying a babysitter, and you're really not making that much money then. So she was willing enough to stay home and take care of the kids and raise them well. And it all worked out. With that extra money, you're able to pay for, private education. We believed in the Catholic education, so we gave that to our two sons. And there's other extras that you got with working that second job, whether it be playing in a band or maybe some folks do bartending or, any number of other careers that you do, that second job. But without the support of the wife there, it never would have happened.
Right, and a lot of times people wonder why they don't go along more, but the big thing, too, is between your travel time and setup time and tear down time and then travel back, a 3 or 4 hour job is not, it turns into an 8 or 10 or who knows.
Exactly.
could be a 16-hour day.
Exactly. That is so true. Well, very good. Lastly, before I let you go, Ken, actually a couple things I got. First of all, talked about the recordings a little earlier. Do you have one in mind that's your favorite or that you think really came off well? Or because you've got a bunch. Right now, I think there's probably, what, about 9 CDs, 10, somewhere in that range?
Well, let's see. I got them on the wall. I'm looking at them here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. There's 13, actually.
13 with all the gospel ones?
Yep.
Okay.
I guess I don't really have a favorite. The last three or four I know we've done with the three-horn band, even though a lot of times we only play with two. I kind of prejudice to that. But they're all very similar because we've always tried to do maybe about six waltzes, six polkas, six foxtrots, and a little variety. We didn't really do too much 50s recording music, although we do play that on jobs too.
Sure.
But and they have quite a few vocals on, and so they're very similar. So no matter which one you get, it's just a matter of the songs are different.
Is there one in the library that's your favorite, that when Chuck calls it up, you say, oh, good, we're playing that one? Is there a polka or a waltz that stands out?
Well, I guess we do a lot, any of them that, I don't know if I can come up with a name, but a lot of the three-way vocal stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a really fun thing that we enjoy. But I guess, you know, we've always liked the Y Polk is one we've done recently that I like to do a lot. And we do Red Apple. Remember the old days when, was it the Deutschmeisters always did the Red Apple?
Yes, that's true.
And just, you know, there's certain songs that are just sort of your favorites.
Yep. All right. And we're going to feature music now in the next segment here. And my favorite is the recording back in 1998 called Old Fashioned Polkas with Altitude. And yep. I never looked at it close enough. I always thought it said attitude.
We've gotten that a lot. People don't see the L. It looks like two T's. Yep.
Yeah. But the first selection, the Ole Polka, we used to go to the German Fest. My dad and mom and my uncle and aunt and my wife and I, six of us, we went there about six times, I think it was, back in the 90s. And boy, that song was so popular back then. And you could hear the various bands, Ray Dorschner, Brian Brigham, all those guys played over there, Jerry Schneider a lot. And that was a song that would stand out because of the way the song is written, you know, and wave your hanky, and boy, people would do that. And I just think that's a great recording that you guys had there.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's funny, every once in a while we'll go and play something we haven't played for who knows, sometimes a couple of years, and you think, oh, how come we don't do that anymore, you know? And
you bet.
A lot of good tunes.
Absolutely. And like I warned you, finally, you were mentioning some of the great memories there. Is there one particular one that stands out in your mind over your career?
You know, I don't know if I could really come up with one.
Okay.
It's just a whole pile of that. I guess I've played too many years to have one memory. But what's interesting is sometimes when you're on the bandstand, you play a song where it is everything just goes perfect. The harmonies are there on vocal and on the horns, and you get that chill up your spine.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, that's what makes the day.
Isn't that true? You bet. More than any pay that you get. I mean, the pay is a necessary evil. You have to earn money to live. But I know exactly what you're saying. When everybody comes together, and that's the other thing about playing in a group, in a band, you need everybody to participate, no different than an athletic team or whatever. When everybody's firing in all cylinders, it does give you goosebumps.
Right. We try to pride ourselves in being smooth and everybody has to be on the same page and together to do that.
You bet. Well, Ken, it's been a pleasure to have you on the program, and I want to thank you for taking time out joining us this morning on this Sunday morning. And I tell each and every guest, the good Lord willing, you and I are both here. We'll do this thing again sometime down the road.
Thank you very much. I'd love to do that.
All righty. So with that, we're going to wish you a good day and let you run, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right. And there he goes, Mr. Ken Schmidt out of Le Centre, Minnesota. Plays with the Chuck Thiel Jolly Ramblers Band and our 193rd guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program. And that takes us to 14 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. We're at 47 degrees here in central Minnesota. Don't go away. We'll be back with our musical treat for Dancing Feet featuring Chuck Thiel and the Jolly Ramblers. That's coming your way next.